The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Later in the show, we'll talk Commanders football with Brian Robinson. He'll join us at 9 a.m. as he does every week during the NFL season. Right now, though, we're happy to reconnect with a guest who's joined us many times over the years, David Sampson, former MLB executive. He's the host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson, wherever you find podcasts. David, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, David.
Good morning. How you doing today?
We're doing well. So were you taken aback and or surprised when you saw the mega deal that Juan Soto signed with the New York Mets? It's not very often that guys who play for the Yankees then choose to go sign with the Mets. But when $765 million is plunked into your lap, guaranteed, none of it deferred, it's hard to turn that deal down.
I definitely wasn't surprised. He had been telling us he was going to do this since he was 19 years old, basically. When you hire Scott Boras, this is your plan. You are going to get to free agency. And when you are asked to sign a $440 million deal with the Nationals and you say, I'd like to get to free agency. And then when Hal Steinbrenner says, I'd like to negotiate with you during the season, would that be okay? And you say, I'd like to get to free agency. Then he gets to free agency, and then taking the highest bid, boy, that seems like the normal thing to do in free agency. So I wasn't surprised at all that Stevie Cohen couldn't let him go. He had his eye on Soto as the answer to his five-year plan prayers, which he stated when he bought the team, which was to win a World Series within 5 years. So he's in year five, and this is a player who he thinks is going to help him.
Any idea? Well, we've kind of read what the Yankees offer was, and the Yankees offer was huge too. I mean, it was monstrous. But any idea what the Blue Jays and Red Sox offers were?
No, and it's interesting. I would say that it's likely that the Red Sox and Blue Jays each knew they had to get above $700 million because I've negotiated with Boras before, and Boras isn't going to take an extra call if he doesn't think that your team is in at least the neighborhood. But don't focus so much on what the final number is as reported. That's like saying Ohtani signed a $700 million contract, but he didn't because of all the deferrals. You have to discount it back. So the reason I say this is you have to look and see in what years people were planning on paying Soto. And the Mets deal had a lot of money up front, a $75 million signing bonus, reportedly up to $120 million in the first year. And when you do the calculation of no further deferrals, you could easily see under an agreed-upon calculation that their deal was just so significantly more in current-day dollars than any other team who would even say, hey, listen, we're above 700, but we're going to pay it deep into the 2040s.
It's just crazy to think about how much money he's going to make when he's, you know, in his late 30s. All right, so what does this do for the Mets? I mean, they've got, I mean, Alonso's a free agent. I don't know. I mean, Cohen doesn't care. I mean, I know that he probably wants to focus more on pitching. I mean, they got a freaking tough division. You still got to beat the Phillies and Braves. But what does this do for the Mets? Are they hindered in terms of additional moves? They clearly have the offense now, but what do they do at first base with Alonso? And then are they going to be looking for more arms in free agency?
Yeah, I'll just push back and say that I've tried this. I've tried to win a pennant in December at the winter meetings, even in Dallas specifically in 2011. And it turns out you actually have to play the games.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of examples of teams who have the best player in baseball who don't win, like Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout when they were with the Angels. The reason the Dodgers were able to win the World Series is they had depth and unexpected production from all sorts of places on the field. And then they had an unbelievable addition of Walker Buehler post-injury, who pitched fantastically for them during the playoffs and World Series. So there's so much that has to be done. But if you're Steve Cohen, you can't stop at just Soto and say, oh, Clay Holmes will anchor our rotation.
Right.
It really doesn't work that way. You need a front-line starter. And you could say it's Senga, but boy, you better hope there's no more injuries, which is hard to count on. So I think depth is required.
David, take us through a negotiation with Scott Boras. You touched on it. How many deals have you done with him? What's it like being in the room with him? Is it more intimidating being in there with him as opposed to other agents? What's it like in negotiating against Boras?
I imagine a lot of it's over the phone, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been on the phone with him many, many times and in the same room negotiating with him. The phone one is an easy one. You just put the phone down and then go about your day. Because he just talks, doesn't even leave room for anyone to say a word. And in person, you just pretend to read the book they prepared on how great the player is. Mm. He prepares these big books, like a treatise about why this player is the player of your dreams. Man, he's the one who will get you over the hump and your octogenarian owner will finally get his ring, that sort of conversation. Mm-hmm. So he really plays to the owner's emotions. He talks about the generational talent, how these players never come around. But, of course, he brings around a different player the next year, sometimes even the same season. So you just have to know that he's putting on a show for his client and for the media. And GMs and presidents really ignore it, actually. They don't get intimidated by it or pay attention to it. You really negotiate. The true negotiation is with yourself and your owner. When you look at your team and you put your team together and you think about where your payroll can be and where it will be in the future with a contract that you'd be signing today, that's where a majority of the time gets spent, actually.
So we know he represents all these superstars and he gets these massive deals. Give us some of the deals, though, where maybe, I mean, we know a lot of times at the back end of these deals that they don't work out, but where they've just been total busts. Like, how often is Boras out there and he's just faking you out with, like, a player that's nowhere near the caliber of the kind of money he's asking for?
Well, I'll just tell you about the bust that I did. One of my biggest busts was with Chen. He told us that if we match him with Jose Fernandez, we'll have a 1-2 punch. And he had a great season with Baltimore. He was so good in the American League East. You put him in the National League East and he'll dominate. And just a whole book about it. But we wanted another pitcher. We needed someone at the upper end of the rotation. We thought he'd give us innings. The thing is that you really don't pay attention to what he's selling because you know the player. It's not like when you're being sold something that you've never seen before or mm-hmm. don't understand and therefore you need it explained by the salesperson. If I were to go out and buy a semiconductor chip, I would really need to be sold and pay attention to what it is because I don't understand it. But I understand a second baseman or a pitcher or a right fielder or left fielder. So I want to again reiterate, it's not Boras's job, nor do we think that it is his job. He does, but it's not his job to explain to us why we want his player. We know why we want his player. It's just a matter of whether we can come to agreement on how we value the player versus how he values the player. And then the last step is, the way we value the player, how does that rank with the way other teams value the player? And very often, there is a disagreement between how teams value a player. And in Soto's case, there wasn't as big a disagreement because a player at the top end like that, pretty much all 30 teams value him the same way. They just can't all afford to pay him.
So, but can you give me some other names? Like, who are some of his massive busts, sort of, that just weren't anywhere near besides Chen? Can you, did any pop up? Are they like, you know, legendary deals that blew up?
For Akeem, look at what happened when he brought A-Rod to the Rangers. That was a massive bust. They had to trade him a few years later, and he didn't make a difference for the team at all. And they traded him to the Yankees, you know, 3 or 4 years later. There are plenty of times.
Strasburg's an example, too. Yeah, the guys are pointing out. Yeah.
So that's not, he wasn't a free agent. That's another funny example to talk about, where he was an extension as he was hitting free agency, and he got Ted Lerner, and rest in peace. Mm-hmm. He said, with this ring, I thee wed. You got a World Series ring. Pay up. And it was just a totally irrational signing that impacted the franchise for years. And players generally are what they are. And Strasburg was hurt, and he had a moment of glory at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. And Boris took advantage of an owner who was willing to get taken advantage of, sadly.
What do you make of, I'm sorry, Jason, what do you make of Rendon? Like, he was such a monster here. And then I think he's another one that he got him a massive deal for, and he almost just seems like he's miserable.
Well, it's not that he seems it, he says it.
Yeah.
And he's, not only did it can't be good. I'll say one thing for him. It can't be fun to be hurt all the time.
Yeah.
No doubt about it, but there's different ways you should act. I've been of the opinion that he should have been released long ago, because he just takes the whole clubhouse down with that sort of negative energy around him. That's a big bust. But on the other hand, when you look at the season he had, I could see why a desperate Artie Moreno would say, hey, let's spend money. Let's bring in the best position player available. Let's match him up with the other great players I have and see if I can finally win something. And, of course, Boris was saying, hey, you've got this, man. All you need is Rendon. He's your last piece. Oh, by the way, next year I'll have a pitcher for you.
Hey, real quick, we want to ask you about the Nats. But before we do that, any thoughts on the top free agents now that Soto's off the board, the Corbin Burns, the Alex Bregmans, Max Fried, you know, guys like that? Where do you see some of these guys landing? I guess it's speculation, but your thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of people who are speculating that the Yankees will have to have a plan B that will involve a top-flight starting pitcher, and that the Mets aren't going to be finished either, and there's only a few of these quote-unquote top free agents. If I'm Corbin Burns, I am just sitting back and I'm letting offers come to me by desperate teams who think that top-of-the-line pitching is what they desire. So I'm in no rush. I know people thought that Soto signing would open the floodgate, but you've got teams who had allocated money for Soto, and once they don't get Soto, they need to figure out how to reallocate that money. And that doesn't necessarily happen overnight, because until he signs with the Mets, you think, hey, he could choose me. Why wouldn't he? Because you think you're cool and you have a great city and a great team. So then you sort of double back during the winter meetings and sit down with your staff and figure out what's next. There's plenty of time before spring training. There's no great rush for people at the top end to sign, which is one of the issues in baseball. It takes away the excitement. But I think they'll all sign. It's not going to be a position where they'll be into spring training without signing, but I think the teams have to take a breath.
We're joined by David Sampson, former MLB executive, host of the Nothing Personal with David Sampson podcast. Can you see the Nats loosening the purse strings when it comes to the payroll? Do you see the Lerners paying more going forward? As of right now, only $32 million allocated for the 2025 payroll. Will they get back to those levels where they were, like, 2019 through 2021, where they were top 6 or 7 in the league when it comes to MLB payroll? Now they're down around 25 or 26.
Yeah, I don't see a path to that right now. I think at the end of the day, that's a franchise that's going to be sold. And I think that you don't want to put too many constraints on that, too many big contracts that could become albatrosses, that could become deductions in franchise sales price. I think the revenue that they thought was coming has really not. Post-World Series, I feel badly for them. They didn't get the post-World Series bump that other teams get because of COVID. And I would tell you that the broadcast revenue that they used to get, which was in dispute for all those years, it's almost all settled now. But the reality is that Masson is not nearly worth what it was. It's not throwing off the cash the way that it was. It's not the asset that it was. And it impacts payroll. It impacts it not just in Washington, but in many other cities. Like the Cardinals are cutting back their payroll because they just don't have the broadcast revenue they used to, or the attendance, frankly, and that's where Washington is now. So I don't see a path right now back to a top five payroll in the immediate future.
David, thanks as always for the time. We appreciate it, man. We'll have you on again soon.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking forward. Have a great day.
Thanks, thank you, David. Bud. It's David Sampson, former MLB executive, host of the Nothing Personal with David Sampson podcast. You can find that on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. When we come back, we will hit the skins as the Commanders prepare to take on the New Orleans Saints coming out of the bye week.